So a man goes into a pet shop to buy a parrot, and he asks the owner how much they are. So the shop owner takes him to the parrot section and points to three very similar parrots on a perch and says, well, the parrot on the left costs $500. $500 for a bird? The owner says, I know, it sounds like a lot, but this parrot actually knows how to use a computer. Mac or PC, doesn't matter. Wow, what about the middle one? Well, that one's $1,000. $1,000 for a parrot? I know, it sounds like a lot of money, but that one not only knows how to use a computer, it can actually do accounting, knows QuickBooks. Wow, the guy said, well, what about the one on the right, that last one? Well, that one's $1,500. $1,500 for that parrot. What can it do? The owner says, well, you know, we're not exactly sure, but we just know that the other two call it the boss. So as is very common in Advent, our gospel focuses on the figure of John the Baptist, one of the great personalities of the Christian scriptures. We hear about his amazing and challenging ministry as he tries to make straight the paths and prepare for God's coming in the world. And today we get to witness a little bit about how John interacts with Jesus. And not unlike the parrot in the story, we don't know yet what Jesus can or will do. He is just appearing on the scene. All we know is that John calls him the boss. Now, John's wilderness ministry had created quite a stir and generated a lot of questions. In the reading, we hear John getting interrogated. The people can't quite figure him out. Who are you? What are you? By what authority are you doing this? And the beauty of John is that he knows who he is and who he is not. He knows his role, and he supports others in theirs. He's obviously done his own inner work, and he doesn't get too flustered by things, and so he just says straight out, look, I'm here to be a witness. Now, the dictionary says that a witness is one who can attest to something or give some evidence. It also says that it's someone who has personal knowledge of something or can say that something has taken place. And this is what I'd like us to think about today, the value of bearing witness. Now, you may be aware that we live in a culture that values the hero, the person who comes in first, the person who starts something. We don't focus very often on all those who are behind the scenes, playing supporting roles, amplifying others, or just outside of the limelight. Derek Sivers, an entrepreneur and business consultant, has this great TED Talk on leadership. It's called How to Start a Movement. And contrary to other leadership talks, Sivers doesn't focus on the first person to do something. Instead, he focuses on the first follower, the one he says is responsible for helping to start the movement. The first follower, by supporting the other person, tells the rest of the world that something is happening here that's valuable and worthwhile. And I think John is a lot like that. He uses his life and ministry to point to something else and towards someone else. John invites us today to think about what it might be to be a good witness. Now, the famous Quaker educator Parker Palmer is known for his brilliant writing and insights into human relationships. He is also very public about his difficult bouts with depression. And he says that few people were helpful to him during his challenging times. But one friend named Bill, however, would come by Palmer's house every afternoon with permission and massage his feet. Bill would hardly say a word and wasn't trying to make Parker feel better. He'd just do a simple foot massage and leave. Parker Palmer says that Bill's silent witness to the pain literally helped to save his life. And he goes on to say, here's the deal. The human soul doesn't want to be advised or fixed or saved. It simply wants to be witnessed, to be seen, heard, and companioned exactly as it is. Witnessing is a great gift that we can give to each other, and it is the simple yet profound act of recognizing another life and saying that this life matters and is worth paying attention to. My friend Ray Malitz runs a daily radio program on one of our local Spanish-speaking radio stations, La Mega, 97.5. And during his show, which he broadcasts live on Facebook, Ray calls out people who tune in with his famous catchphrase, "Yo te veo," which means, "I see you." That's what a witness does. They tell you that you have been seen and acknowledged, that your life matters. Now just think for a moment about someone who has done that for you. It affects us to be noticed, acknowledged, named, thought about. And in today's gospel, John bears witness for his cousin, Jesus, and reminds us that the people in our own families need us to bear witness to them or bear witness to their pain. Some of us know firsthand how painful it can be when our family doesn't even acknowledge who we are or what we are going through. But so many other people in the world need us to bear witness to them. And our first reading from Isaiah gives us a bit of a blueprint of the people who need us: the poor, the brokenhearted, the captives, the prisoners, in part because all of the systems of the world tell these groups of people and so many others that they don't matter. Their struggles don't matter, their pain doesn't matter, their joys don't matter, their contributions don't matter. I mean, that's why we have had to have a campaign in this country to specifically say Black Lives Matter, because so many messages and actions say otherwise. And so our readings today invite us to tell our families and to tell so many in this world, you matter, yo te veo. Now, just like we live in a culture that values being number one, we live in a culture that values the big splash and huge actions. Thankfully, bearing witness doesn't require this of us. A foot rub meant the world to Parker Palmer. Recently, my daughter Kateri posted on Facebook a small portion of a letter from a man she corresponds with in San Quentin prison. She tried to amplify his voice and make others aware of what he's going through at the holidays. And I found this to be deeply impactful because her readers are now not only more aware about people in prison, but there's a group of us that are going to send him some letters of support and encouragement so that he knows we care. Did she solve mass incarceration through her post? Did she undo the prison industrial complex? Not quite, but it moves us in that direction. Or I think about Mary Lou Aguilar from our church, who every year on the day that priests are ordained in this diocese stands outside of Sacred Heart Cathedral with a sign reminding everyone that women are still excluded. Or the group of elders in Rochester who continue to publicly sit in silent meditation each week to honor the life and death of Daniel Prude. Or the annual vigils for trans lives or for the homeless, where the names of all those who have died in this past year are read. Or the medical professionals who tell the stories of dying COVID patients because no one is allowed to be there with them. Has the church changed its stand because of Mary Lou? Did they come out one year and say, "Oh my God, thanks for having that sign. We had no idea." Has police brutality stopped? Are people now being offered housing as a human right? Was COVID ended? No, but these acts were done to bear witness, to point to a bigger story, to remember lives, and to tell the world, hey, there's something important happening here. The great civil rights organizer Ella Baker once said, "This may only be a dream of mine, but I think it can be made real." And I suspect that all of the Bible characters we read about during Advent, Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, John the Baptist, they knew this in their bones somehow, that the dream of God could become real. No doubt they got discouraged, but they kept moving forward in faith. We know that the big patterns and big systems that we live in every day are made up of smaller patterns that merge together. The small actions we take and the critical connections that we make are the places where we start to change the patterns. And they're the places where the dream becomes more real. Now, as many of you know, Advent is the season of light. We're not the only ones celebrating a season of light. Our Jewish brothers and sisters right now are celebrating Hanukkah. But today we lit our third candle, which signifies joy. Now, joy may be quite far from our hearts and minds these days. I know that for many of us, this Christmas season is going to be a hard one for a lot of reasons. We will need to keep pulling together, holding each other up, and bearing witness. One of my favorite poets and spiritual writers is Jan Richardson, and she says that when we bear witness for one another, it helps to bring joy because it's like holding a light up and illuminating their life. She has a beautiful poem called "Blessed Are You Who Bear the Light." And in it she says, "Blessed are you who bear the light in unbearable times, who bear witness in love that illumines every broken thing it finds." So many people are working right now to bear the light in these unbearable times. I think of the tired healthcare workers in hospitals and nursing homes, exhausted teachers, frazzled parents. I think of all those who do drive-by visits, cook meals, and try to stay connected to loved ones who are isolated and alone. I want to honor and thank all those who are trying to illumine all the broken things they find. And there are so many broken things. And if you are doing relatively well these days, emotionally, physically, financially, or spiritually, then maybe you are being called to bear a little more light. If you are not doing so well, bear what light you can, and make sure your light stays as strong as it can. Like many of you, I do a lot of Zoom calls, and recently, right before a call, I realized that I hadn't shaved in a few days. So I decided to do a quick shave right before the meeting. In my drawer at work, I have an electric razor and took 2 minutes to kind of clean myself up. And then when I got on the call, I could now clearly see on the screen multiple big spots that I had totally missed, which possibly made me look even more disheveled than before I had, if I had not shaved. Lesson learned, use a mirror. John the Baptist is our mirror today. He holds up a reflecting surface for us about bearing witness and being light, about amplifying and acknowledging others, about knowing our role and supporting others in theirs, about letting God illuminate our lives so that we can then pay it forward. The great spiritual teacher Joan Chittister says that it is while waiting for the coming of the reign of God, Advent after Advent, that we come to realize that its coming depends on us. This week, someone is going to need you to hold the light for them, to bear witness, and to do the work of Advent. Blessed are you when you hold the light for others in unbearable times.